This is Monty Lewis, and thanks for listening to this audio program on new business development. I've been working with sales organizations around the country since 1992, and one common theme I often hear is the need for sales prospecting skills. Sales directors and sales managers say, "Our team is good once they get in front of a customer, but opening up new accounts, that's where our team is weak." So, in this audio program, I'm going to cover the ins and outs of prospecting skills for the business-to-business sales professional. First, I'll start off by going over the five kinds of new business development strategies. Next, we'll go over how to set up your ideal client profile. Then we'll go knee-deep into direct contact prospecting. And then we'll wrap up with a great referral asking strategy and two-stage selling. All right, so let's start with the five major prospecting strategies. While working with different kinds of sales organizations around the country, I've identified five major areas where companies devote their energy and their resources to develop more new customers. The five prospecting strategies are: 1, direct contact, where you're essentially cold calling on prospects, either by phone or by shoe leather, by showing up at their place of business. For many business-to-business applications, using shoe leather or face-to-face cold calling may not really be the best use of their time, but there are some industries where this is not only appropriate, but it's actually very successful. We'll take some more time out about the finer points of direct contact in just a few minutes. The second form of prospecting is networking, and this includes asking for referrals. The goal of networking is to increase your circle of contacts so that more people know about you and about the work that you do, and they can introduce you to the right kind of buyers. Networking is not only about making that initial introduction, but it's also about keeping in contact so that they remember to recommend you when the right buyer comes along. Traditional networking includes working your trade association contacts or attending the Chamber of Commerce functions or participating in leads clubs. But today, there's also a number of ways to network virtually or through the internet by meeting people in similar functions or similar industries or former employees or colleagues at your past work or alumna from your alma mater. Whichever networking strategy you use, either traditional or virtual, effective networking means being really clear about what you do and the typical client that you tend to work with. Be clear about your ideal client, and then be clear about the kind of results and benefits that those clients receive as a result of working with you. The third kind of prospecting strategy is working promotional events, which includes working trade shows too. Of course, working trade shows can be really expensive, but in some insular industries, your absence can be more expensive than your attendance. When attending trade shows, you're paying the show promoter to create enough attention to get both the quantity and quality of buyers to show up. If the promoter has done his job and there's a decent enough traffic, then your job is to connect with as many possible prospects as physically possible, qualify them effectively, determining their needs and their timelines, arrange next steps, and then you have to do an incredible job of following up. Keep careful track of all your show leads so that you can justify your attendance at next year's show. It's amazing how many companies go through the expense of attending the show, but do not do an adequate job of establishing clear trade show objectives, training the trade show booth staff, or managing the entire trade show lead process. Promotional events also includes working your own promotional event, roadshow, or educational symposium. These require a lot of planning and a strong hook to get prospective buyers to show up. But the great promise of running your own promotional event is that you don't have to share the prospect's mind share with other vendors, and then you can create and manage the entire customer experience. Putting on your own seminar is a great way to introduce yourself to prospective customers in a safe environment. Position yourself in the very best light, answer any questions they might have, and then jumpstart the entire sales process. Promotional events work particularly well when introducing a new product or service or launching in a new geographical market. The fourth and fifth prospecting strategies are direct advertising and public relations. Advertising is a complex business and an ever-changing science, with new media and creative strategies being introduced all the time. Classic advertising and marketing concepts are all about generating new customers and keeping existing customers loyal. The goal of good advertising is always to get prospects to call in, or nowadays, to log in. Tracking your advertising response rates should always be your first order of business. How many called in or logged in with this banner ad, or this magazine drop, or this radio spot? And public relations work is all about getting good press, about getting your company mentioned in these media, whether they be traditional or web-based. Writing articles is always a good way to get exposure. Industry journals or web publications are always looking for good content, for news to fill their publications. If you can find a way to write a success story about how your business significantly helped a customer with a new problem or a growing trend, well, that is certainly newsworthy. Of course, like direct advertising, public relations is not just about getting exposure in the media, it's about what you do with that exposure once your article runs or your YouTube video clip is aired. You have to be ready to share this moment with your full contact list and look to generate additional buzz around this exposure. Now, of course, with each of these strategies, you need to start with a solid prospect list, a list of ideal businesses that, based on their demographic data, are likely to buy from you. Then you'll know what trade show to attend, or what magazine to place your ads in, or where to hold your promotional events, or where to publish your blog, and what companies to dial into. The list is one of the most important factors in the execution of your new business development strategy, yet it tends to receive the least amount of care and attention. Simply said, the easier a list is to get, the more that other sales organizations already have it, and the less likely that it'll be any good. The harder the list is to get, then fewer other salespeople already have it, and the more profitable it is for you. One way to help generate a good list is by first creating your ideal client profile. And this can be broken down into two categories. First, the demographics, and then the psychographics. The demographics are the ones that we typically start off with, and they can be pulled off the computer. These are the criteria such as company size, industry classification or SIC code, geographical location, number of employees, sales volume, and so on. But the psychographics, they're what makes the client more likely to do business with you. Do they value the kind of quality work that your firm does? What is their strategic market positioning? Are they more value-based or more price-based in their market? Are they accessible or are they difficult to do business with? And of course, do you already have a referral in there or a coach that can help you gain access or guide you through the entire sales process? By defining your ideal customer profile and then defining a series of weighted prospect criteria, you can determine which prospects are more likely to do business with you even prior to making your first contact. Over time, we tend to learn that the psychographics have more weight than the demographics. So, where do you find the psychographics, since they're not readily available off the internet? Actually, some you can actually pick up off the prospect's website or through at least your initial phone calls, but most of it you'll have to gather from that first initial face-to-face meeting, where you pick up on a tremendous amount of verbal and nonverbal cues. One helpful model that helps identify the psychographics of your ideal client profile is called the life cycle of corporations. Life cycle is less about the physical age of the prospect company, but more about the psychological age of the company. It's more about the culture and the mindset of the company. Essentially, companies go through different life cycle stages, from birth to childhood, to adolescence, to adulthood, or what we call prime. Now, imagine a bell curve, with the first half of the curve representing these growth stages, from birth to childhood to adolescence to prime. The top of the bell curve is status quo, where the company just wants to keep what it's got and doesn't want to lose any ground. Now, the back half of the bell curve are the aging stages, starting with aristocracy, with those fancy walnut-trimmed conference rooms and the plush carpet in the executive suite. And then from aristocracy, we move down the curve to bureaucracy, to coma, and then finally to death. Now, each stage of the life cycle comes with a different set of values and a different set of purchasing decision criteria. And by knowing what stage of the life cycle your prospect is in, you will know whether the prospect is a good fit for you and whether it is likely that they'll be buying from you. All right, if you're not sure what criteria, either demographics or psychographics, make up your ideal client profile, then you ought to do some reverse engineering. That is, take a look at some of your best clients from last year and run some computer research on them. What was their sales volume, their number of employees, their SIC codes? And then next, look at them through your life cycles of corporation lenses and see, where did most of your best clients land? Were they new startups and adolescents, or were they more like aristocrats and bureaucracies? Then, from now on, look for clients with the best of your ideal client criteria. And this will help you determine how you position yourself at that trade show, which web publications you ought to write for, what target market you should go after with your radio spot, and so on. All right, let's go back to that first new business development strategy we discussed, direct contact, and explore this a little bit more fully. This is essentially a sophisticated approach of calling into your prospect list, marketing to qualified prospects with a carefully executed nurture campaign strategy, and then setting up your appointment. As we said earlier, an initial step in your new business development system is identifying the prospects that you want to go after, that is, getting yourself a good list. All right, so how big a list do you need if you're going to work the direct contact approach? Well, this varies from industry to industry, but overall, you want a big list. They should all be companies that you want to do business with that match your ideal customer profile, but you want a large enough list that no one prospect is that important to you. The less that any one of them is important to you, the lower will be your natural fear of rejection. A large list will start up your new business development system, and then you can add more prospects as time progresses. With direct contact, that is phone prospecting, your goal is just to get an appointment. Don't try to sell over the phone. Even if you can typically make a sale over the phone, assume that you're interrupting your prospect's day and set up a time for your next call. The goal of your initial prospecting phone call should be to introduce yourself and your offering and then set up your next appointment or your next call or your virtual presentation. Your initial call will end with your requesting an appointment, either face-to-face or virtual. It'll go something like this. Hi, this is Monty Lewis with XYZ Company. This is what we do, and I'd like to set up a meeting to see if this is a good fit for your company. When you request a meeting like this, you will typically get one of the following four responses to your request. One, they'll say, yes, come on in. Two, no, we're not interested. Three, this is not a good time. And four, well, why don't you just send me something, which we call see more, as in they want to see more. So it's one, yes, two, no, three, not a good time, and four, see more. Now, if you know in advance of your phone call that there is essentially only four responses to your request, and you know how to handle each of these responses, then there's little to fear from these calls. It's like you're sitting at the end of a conveyor determining whether the prospect is a yes, no, not a good time, or a see more. The definition of prospecting is searching for something of value. The gold prospector would head out to the west, stake his claim, sit by the bank of the river, and then sift through a lot of dirt until he finally found his golden nugget. Likewise, today's business prospector has to sift through a lot of dirt until you find your golden nugget. The key is, when the prospect says, I'm not interested, you just say, thank you very much, and you move on to the next one. No matter how much buffing you can do, you're not going to turn that piece of dirt into gold. Your job is not to convert the heathens. You're looking for prospects that at least have some level of interest. And if you're not too rough on your list of prospects, then you can come back around to them at a later date and make a new and different offer. Now, for each of the four kinds of prospects, you need to have a carefully planned nurture campaign strategy. So once you get off your call, you just place them into your system. While the nurture campaign is different from industry to industry, typically the yeses get a thank you note by email and a confirming phone call prior to your appointment. Notes are made on the nos about their level of receptivity and ease of access, and then they're filed away for future campaigns. The see-mores, the prospects that want to see more, they receive your initial package and then some monthly nurture marketing pieces, and then they're later requalified in approximately 90 to 120 days. The not a good times are typically your most valuable ones. What they're saying is, I understand the value your company can bring to my business, but I'm just too busy right now to give it adequate attention. You listen attentively to the Not a Good Times for their specific client needs and their reasons for postponing the meeting. Send them your monthly nurture campaign pieces and then follow up at the assigned date and reconnect with their needs and their postponement reasons. Now, part of the effectiveness of your direct contact system and your nurture campaign new business strategy is how well you come off on the phone. You want to be relaxed and confident. People like doing business with professionals, and a professional doesn't get all excited or emotional or disappointed when they're successful or not. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. The professional knows that if they consistently do the right behaviors and the right actions, then the right results will follow. One way to manage your voice quality on these calls is to prepare a script in advance. Most salespeople don't want to be scripted because they don't want to sound like a telemarketer that interrupts the evening dinner. But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to sit down and make a certain number of the same kind of phone call over and over again, you're going to fall into a script whether you plan on one or not. So you might as well plan it out. Plan out your script in order to increase your likelihood of success. Of course, you still don't want to sound scripted. All right, your basic initial phone script will go something like this. There's first your opening. Hi, this is Monty Lewis with XYZ Company. Next, your offer. What we're doing right now is inviting managers to a free presentation or whatever offer works for your business. Third, the ask. Does this sound like something you'd like to attend? Fourth, the qualify. Can I ask you a couple of quick questions? And then you ask a few key qualifying questions. And then fifth, the confirm. Once again, the presentation is on Friday at 8:30, and I'll email your confirmation right away. All right, so it's the opening, offer, ask, qualify, and confirm. These five steps are the basic script, but as a trained professional, you're capable of moving off the script as the client shows interest. That's the difference between a sales professional and a telemarketer. Your script serves more as a guidepost to get you started, pointing you in the right direction. The goal is not to hamstring you so that you end up coming off as a mechanical robot. The other key difference between you and a telemarketer is that you stop early on and you let the prospect speak. Most telemarketers don't stop because they know if they stop speaking for even a second, the prospect will say, "Sorry, we're not interested," and just hang up. So as a serious professional, you give the prospect an opportunity to get out of the call early on. This is done with what we call a leading question, and it's placed right after your opening. Hi, this is Monty Lewis with XYZ Company. And then you ask your leading question to give the prospect a chance to speak. Choose a leading question that works for you. Your leading question might be, "Now you're familiar with our company, right?" Or, "Can you hear me okay on this phone line?" Or, "Did I catch you at a good time?" All of these give the prospect an opportunity to say, "I'm not interested." Or it'll buy you an additional 15 seconds on the call. After your leading question, insert a short, easy-to-understand phrase that explains your business. And then ask the verify decision-maker question. Are you the right person? Are you the right person to talk to about these services? Or are you the person responsible for making these decisions? If they are the right person, then you're back into your five-step script with the offer. What we're doing right now, then, is setting up demo presentations, or whatever offer you select for your business, followed by the ask, the qualify, and the confirm. Now, remember, all this script is supposed to do is identify which of the four types of the prospects they are. They're either a yes, a no, not a good time, or a Seymour, and then you put them on the appropriate nurture campaign. As we said earlier, the not a good times are typically your best prospects. They understand your value, but they're just too busy to see you right now. Busy is good. Busy means that they're in a growth mode and they have a lot on their plate. If you demonstrate your professionalism by using your nurture campaign strategy, you can normally get your appointment as a result of the second call. What you don't want to do on your second call is reference your nurture marketing campaign. Don't ask, "Hey, did you get the stuff I've been sending you?" Or do not start off the second call with, "I'm just following up on the material I sent you," because then you fall into the "didn't get it, didn't read it" trap. They say, "Didn't get it, didn't read it," and you're stuck in some weird black hole of, "Well, I'll send it to you again, and I'll follow up with you next week," and now you're just stuck in voicemail hell and you can never get out. One thing you can do to prevent "didn't get it, didn't read it" is to mutilate the package. You can write with a Sharpie on your brochure, or you can add a big fluorescent post-it note, or you can use a bright yellow highlighter to draw attention to a key idea, or you can write on the back of your business card and staple it to an odd corner of your material. This way, before your information hits the trash can, somehow it stands out in the prospect's mind, even if only slightly. The other thing you can do to avoid didn't get it, didn't read it, is to use the bypass in your second phone call script. By bypass, we mean that you ignore whether the prospect received or read your material and go right to the questionnaire. Your second call opening and bypass would go something like this. Hi, this is Monty Lewis with XYZ Company. I sent you some information last week, but before I suggest a meeting, I'd like to ask you a couple of quick questions. Do you have a minute? The bypass goes right past didn't get it, didn't read it, and goes straight to the questionnaire. Now, the questionnaire has to be thought out and prepared in advance, and has to obviously be industry-specific and sometimes even client-specific. In preparing your questionnaire, your goal is two things. First, to demonstrate to the prospect that you are way more knowledgeable than any average telemarketer. To be able to ask smart, strategic questions that pinpoint at their business challenges demonstrates above-average intelligence and that you're not just trying to sell them something. Second, the questionnaire gives the prospect an opportunity to share what's going on at their company. The carefully worded questionnaire moves you light years ahead of your competition and generally gets you your appointment. As soon as the prospect is well engaged in discussing their business challenge, you interrupt them, suggest that you might have a solution, and would like to set up a meeting. The key is to interrupt the prospect. Suggest the possibility of a solution, but not overconfidently, and then suggest setting up an appointment. All right, so the steps for the second call are the opening, the bypass, the questionnaire, and then confirm the appointment. Upon confirming appointment, it's always a good idea to ask for a little something extra in order to gauge the prospect's commitment. You can ask for geographical landmarks near their location, their email address, their admin assistant's name and extension number, or their cell phone number. It goes like this. Hey, one more thing before I go. Is there another number I can get hold of you at? These are helpful bits of information, plus their response is a sure indicator of their level of commitment. All right, let's take a few minutes now to go over one of the best ways to ask existing clients for referrals. Everyone agrees that referrals are the best source of new business because you're tapping into an existing trust bond relationship, and then you'll find that the sales process goes so much faster and your likelihood of success goes way, way up. So everybody agrees that referrals are great, but most sales professionals do a lousy job of asking for referrals. So then you end up feeling uncomfortable with the whole experience. And after a while, you just do it when the timing feels right, which is almost never. And very few sales professionals I know have a complete referral asking system. So here is an excellent referral system, which makes a lot of sense and is pretty easy to use. Of course, the starting point is that you and your business have to be referral worthy. And to be truly referral worthy, you have to do more than just doing your job. You have to do more than just getting the job done. You have to really go the extra mile. Now, I know there's a lot of lip service about going the extra mile, but if you want people to refer you to their trusted relationships, then you have to really care about your clients. And you demonstrate your client concern by not only doing your work in an excellent fashion and by being a great service provider, but also by being seriously interested in your clients, both on a personal and a business level. You also need to add extra touches along the way in your client maintenance system. That shows that you're constantly thinking about your client. Now, this referral system is centered around what I call the value discussion. On a regular basis, when you're meeting with your client, you review the value proposition that you are providing for their business. Whether you're going to ask for referrals or not, this is a pretty healthy discussion to have with your clients. It goes like this. I'd like to take a moment to explore the unique ways our company has provided value to your business. What are some of the reasons you use us as a provider, or something like that? If this has gone well and the client has expressed the unique value contribution that you bring to their organization, you can then transition to the asking for referrals by saying something like, would it be okay if we take a minute and brainstorm other managers that you know that I can provide similar value for? Now, what's important here is that you take the time to do this right. What most salespeople do is they ask for referrals at the very, very end of their meeting Sometimes, as they're headed off to the elevators, the client feels kind of put out. They say something like, I can't think of anybody right now, but I'll keep it in mind. And then you walk away with no referrals. So make sure you give yourself enough time to have a decent client conversation, and then you'll get plenty of referrals. The other thing you want to do is don't put your client on the spot. You don't want to say, hey, have you got any referrals? And then just shut up waiting for them to talk. What you should be saying is, can we brainstorm together people that I can bring value to? You want to participate in the referral generation conversation and then help your client come up with some ideas. If you've already got some specific ideas, then go ahead and mention them. Hey, I was thinking that you could introduce me to Jim Miller over in marketing. What do you think? If you don't have any specific names, then you should come prepared with categories that might trigger some names. How about some of the people at that company where you used to work? Or what about some of the contacts that you have at the trade association that you are involved with? Or what about your counterpart over in that other location? Generate some categories in advance so you can help brainstorm some possible referrals with your client. Once your client gives you a few contacts, you want to ask them to go one more step for you. You want your client to introduce you to the referral. This can be done in a number of ways. If your relationship is strong enough, you want your client to invite the referral and yourself to grab lunch together or set up a meeting together where the client introduces you to the referral. If this is not likely, then ask your client to call the referral directly or leave a voicemail message for them or write a personal note on one of your brochures or send an email message warming up your introduction. The better your introduction, the more likely the referral will take your call. Overall, when asking your client for referrals, you want to be clear with your client that you use a very low-pressure style. Explain that you're not going to pounce all over the referral and not let go until they return your call. The number one reason clients are reluctant to give referrals is because they once referred a salesperson that was a total stalker and would not give up. Tell your client that you totally respect their relationship and that you'll back off from the referral at the slightest sign of no interest. Finally, regardless of how you get that first appointment, whether it's through a client referral or through your direct contact system or as a result of working a trade show, you want to make sure that you follow through on that promise of your tentative solution. As part of your prospecting strategy, you said you might have some ideas that can help them with their business. One of the things you might say, particularly when they say, well, why don't you just send me something in the mail, is you can say, well, there's something that I need to show you. Of course, when you get there, you will be showing them something. You'll show them how your unique approach works or show them how you've helped other similar clients. But primarily, when you get there for that first meeting, your charge is to ask good questions. You can't be in the business of possibly coming up with a customized solution if you already have a canned solution ready to go. And you need to thoroughly understand their goals and their objectives so you can come back on that second call and show them how your customized recommendation will help them achieve their stated goals and objectives. Now, often the prospect won't give you an appointment if you say, I'd like to come out and gather information. People are much too busy to help you gather information. Rather, they must be already convinced that there is some real value here to grant you an appointment. So you need to say something like, I'd like to show you how our new process can save you or make you money as compared to what you're currently doing, or make your work so much easier, or improve overall performance. But when you get there on the first meeting, you'll be focused on understanding and asking questions and less focused on showing and convincing. Really, your personal objective for that first meeting is to set up your second meeting, where you come back and make your recommendation. And the way you get that second appointment is by demonstrating that you thoroughly understand their business challenges or their objectives and that you believe that you can come back with a real recommendation. At some level, you're convincing yourself that this prospect is worthy of your second visit. Of course, you have done some initial qualifying through your prospecting efforts prior to your first meeting, that they're the right kind of company for you to be doing business with, but now you're doing a deeper level of qualifying. More, is this a good fit? Do they have the kind of problems and needs that we're particularly good at solving so that a second meeting is worthy of both yours and the prospect's time? Plus, by asking good questions to understand their business goals and challenges, you develop that trust bond relationship, similar to that of a physician and their patient. That is, of course, a physician that conducts a sufficient patient history. This two-stage selling process also gives you more time to develop that trust bond relationship. So, in the first call, you identify the client's goals, challenges, and objectives, and on the second call, you show how your recommendation can help them achieve their goals and objectives. Sometimes you'll meet a prospect on that first call that matches your ideal client profile so well that you're tempted to go to recommendation on the first call, but don't. You could, but don't. By breaking it down into two calls, you demonstrate the quality of thoughtfulness and you allow the client time for mental digestion of your initial presentation. Throughout this new business development program, we focused our efforts on thoughtfulness, on preparation. The more you identify your ideal client profile, the more you gather information about your prospects prior to your initial approach, the more thoroughly you understand clients' needs and wants, the more you show a sincere interest in the client's personal well-being, will all help you not only to win clients, but to win clients for life. Thanks for listening to this audio program on new business development. Feel free to contact me if you think I can be helpful to you in any way. This is Monty Lewis, and I wish you all the best.